Today we begin a season of preparation, of waiting, of anticipating. Now, I come from an era when you say the word anticipation, you think of a ketchup commercial. Can't help it. Am I right? Not, or you may even be thinking of a song by James Taylor and Carly Simon, Once Upon a Time When They Were Married. But it's all about the hope of the coming of the King. And there is only one King, Jesus Christ, who alone saves us from everything that is trying very, very hard to destroy us. The word Advent comes from the Latin Adventus, which means coming. Advent is a season of new beginnings. As we turn today from the liturgical year A to the liturgical year B, and all of our readings until next first Sunday of Advent will be from year B, a part of the three-year cycle. Advent is also a time in which we're seeking and searching for hope, or at least a break from the fear that tries to surround and engulf our daily lives. The purple candle that Lily lit this morning is the Advent candle of hope. Next week we will light another purple candle, and then the rose color. You think that's pink, it's rose colored. Everything in liturgy has a proper term. And then finally, the last, which is the last purple candle, and then on Christmas Eve, all of these candles will become white, and the center or Christ candle will be lit as well. As we remember and give thanks for the first coming of Jesus, but we're anticipating his next coming. There's that word again, anticipation. Well, in light of that anticipation, it would be good for us to hold onto the words of our first reading from the prophet Isaiah, which Jay read so eloquently. Thank you, sir. He's calling out to God, and he's saying these words, "Oh, that you would tear open or render the heavens and come down." In answer to that prayer, Jesus stepped into time and into this world when he was born of Mary for one purpose, to save each one of us. And he's coming again to reign forever. In today's Gospel of Mark, Jesus offers these words filled with hope and truth in Mark 13:31. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." We know that these words are faithful and true and give us hope and direction in our days ahead. Jesus' words tell us that his word, the word of God, Holy Scripture, is eternal and trustworthy and true, and that we need to be reading and sharing his word with the whole world. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus gives his primary message for the whole world, for us to listen. How many times have I stood here and said, "Oh Lord, open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our minds to your holy word." We've got to not only see, but we've got to listen. Jesus said, "Let anyone with ears to hear, listen." Very strange that Jesus is surrounded by people who were unwilling to listen. Unwilling to listen, to hear what he has to say and who is actually saying it. They refuse to let the actual voice of God speaking in a new way of living. They refuse to hear that. It's based upon power and not violence. To truly listen is to hear through the ears of Jesus Christ, through his heart, and to hear the cries of those in need, and hear that true power comes in doing service for others. How many of us have prayed to be able to hear with Jesus' ears? I know I've prayed for you many times, many of you, some of you in my office, to pray that the Lord would give you his eyes to see the next time you look in the mirror so that you can feel better about yourself. You know, as they say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. First, we have to forgive ourselves. In order to love others, we have to love ourselves. Because if you don't feel good about yourself, how are you going to feel good about others? If you're a liar, how can people believe you? You know, it's a simple truth. Well, today's gospel message Jesus gave on the Mount of Olives. It's a part of what we call the Olivet Discourse that will be on the quiz. Three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, share with us Jesus' teaching from the Mount of Olives. And in this lesson from Mark chapter 13, Jesus tells his followers, he's telling all of us to watch, to stand guard. As a matter of fact, he said, be on guard, be alert. He stresses the need for us to open our eyes and see the world as God sees the world, and pray that God would allow you to have the eyes of Jesus Christ, to see the world as it really is, to see the events of the world as Jesus sees them, not as something that's horrible and terrible, or people that are horrible and terrible, but every single person is his creation. Some of them have turned on him, but he still loves them. In the midst of terror and anxiety, we must recognize God is there. He's not only in control, but he has a plan to help us through it. We also need to have eyes to recognize evil. When you walk into a room that is dark, don't you notice it? You notice that you can't see things and that things are hidden. But when you turn on the light, everything becomes revealed. Jesus is the light, and Satan is the darkness. God has a plan to help us through it. Evil is from the enemy, and it's nothing more than an empty promise, which is totally meaningless. It's like receiving an empty envelope. You get something in the mail, and you go, oh, let me open this. It's from the IRS, and it's empty. How disappointing! Or from a loved one, and there's no card inside, not a message at all. That's what Satan's all about. Empty, hollow messages. Meaning and purpose to life can only be found in the only one who created the world, the one who promised to save all who look to him in times of terror, distress, and heartache, and to trust totally in him. And that is Jesus our Lord. In Mark 13, 24 to 25, Jesus' words begin with what many perceive to be foreboding and terror. He says, but in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Well, they sound like frightening events, don't they? But I got to tell you, we in our lives have witnessed events of real terror as well. If you remember September 11th, we all have images of our own and personal stories to tell. Each one of us remembers what happened that day, and it's not a pretty picture. In answer to this terror, Jesus warns us, be on guard, be alert. He's telling us to keep our eyes open and keep watch and be alert, so that we can see things as God wants us to see them, and see God in the midst of all this terror as he is promising us that word of that candle, hope. It's one of the best four-letter words I know. Love is too, but that's another candle for another Sunday. He promises us hope. We must recognize that only God gives our lives meaning. Now, life is not defined by fear or threat from the enemy, who just wants to scare the dickens out of us and throw us off track, trying to control us. We need to recognize evil for what it is, and recognize that God is with us. We sang a hymn this morning, O come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us, and that he's at work and right in the midst of all the evil that surrounds us. Each one of us should be asking God to give us eyes to see things as he does, asking him to let us see people and things as he does. We need to see him in a new way, to keep awake and aware of God's way of seeing. Jesus reminds us that a time is coming that none of us know, in which the King is coming. And so we've got to be ready. We've got to prepare. The King is coming. It's time for us to broaden our vision. Time to stop looking over our shoulders for those who threaten us. And instead, see the broken people who need God in their lives, who need His healing and His mercy, who need that emptiness that they're feeling to be filled. That black hole that is in their heart can only be filled by the light of Christ's love. They need the comfort of His holy word. We all need to have God in our life. We've been created to know, love, and worship God. When someone does not know God, they're left, as I said, with that black hole in their life. And because of that emptiness, many seek to wreak havoc in the lives of others. When you're not happy, you want to bring other people down with you. You see it all the time. Just put on the news. Knowing God, serving Him, and worshiping Him is what we as the church, the community of believers, the body of Christ in fellowship are called to do. To come together and grow and to step out sharing Christ's love with the community around us. We can make a difference by being an example to others in the way we live, based on God's example in His holy word. We need to let Christ's light shine in us. To watch, keep alert, or awake is to open our eyes and see God active in our world. Psalm 80, which Jay led us in this morning, we prayed that together, reminds us of the cry of the people to Almighty God. Restore us, O God of hosts. Show the light of Your countenance, and we shall be saved. Prophet Isaiah declares to the Lord God to come and save His people. Oh, that You would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before You. And when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make Your name known to Your enemies and cause the nations to quake before You. People have been crying out for God to save them, and many missed it. They missed the fact that He alone is the hope of the hopeless. As I mentioned before, God did step into history in the person of His blessed Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But the people didn't recognize the King, and instead they ridiculed, rejected, and condemned Him to death. They hung Him from a cross. God's promises cannot be destroyed. Jesus rose from the dead on that Sunday morning and is alive today. Remember, God did not promise that His King would reign. God did promise, I should say, that His King would reign. When Jesus the King comes again, His followers will have nothing to fear, but instead to rejoice that He has come to reign over them and to draw them to Himself for all eternity. Jesus said in the Gospel of Mark 13:26, they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with power and glory. There's no mistaking that event, folks. None whatsoever. There will be a fearful day for many. Or as Isaiah said, that nations might tremble at Your presence, be a means for those to know Jesus, to see Him face to face and worship their King. We who know Him have nothing to be afraid of, because we will recognize Him coming on clouds and power and great glory. His words are true, and you can take that to the bank. Jesus also said, heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will never pass away. It's in His words that we can put our trust and know that He is as good as His promises. I call that hope. We enter the season of Advent, a time of anticipation before the festive season of Christmas that is to come. But we also need to recognize it's a time of anticipating the One who is to come again. We all see things around us that give us false hope and a false meaning to our lives. As beautiful as a Christmas tree is, it's got nothing to do with Jesus. Those things are not where our hope lies. As followers of Jesus Christ, we long for the coming of the one who promises to release the captives, to give sight to the blind, and faith in him brings hope for you and me in the midst of all that the world would incite around us and terrorize us today. Hope is not found in the promises of politicians or world leaders. Hope for the world is found in the one who came as a vulnerable child into this world, who knows our fears and our terrors and cries with us in the midst of the terror, but also knows and shows us a way through the terror to hope. It's Jesus who has the power to destroy the powers that destroy people. He's coming. The King is coming. We're not to blindly ignore what's happening in the world today. We think we need to think about the events, but instead we're to watch with new eyes, which are illuminated in the light of hope, the light of the gospel. Watch. Keep awake. The Savior of the world is about to return, and in that is great hope. The King is coming. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.